it's that time again. And the doctor is in. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, coming to you one more time. Hopefully not the last time. Yeah, I suspect we'll be on for a while. How about you? Yeah, well, there you go. The intro to the videocast, the vodcast, the netcast. Let's settle on a term, okay? We'll go with netcast. How's that? Well, I tell you what, it's been an exciting week. It's been a geeky week. I have been involved in getting the videocast, vodcast, netcast out there on the web. And we now have a new website, drbill.tv, that I'd encourage you to go to and check out. D-R-B-I-L-L. Now, there's no little dot in there, you see. Dr. Bill, there's a D-R, but there's no dot. Just drop that out and have drbill.tv, and that's where you need to go to find the Dr. Bill podcast, vodcast, netcast. I'm going to really have to settle on a name, you know? Anyway, we've got some neat stuff lined up for the netcast this week, not the least of which is how to make a netcast like this. That's going to be our geek project for this week, so stay tuned for that. I think you're going to like it. We've also got some geek culture this week. Now, I'm cheating just a little bit on this week's geek culture, okay? Because this is geek culture that I've played before on the audio podcast. Get my terms right. But since we're now video, I wanted to play the video. And so I did something rather sneaky. You know the doctor, he can be sneaky. And so what I did is I played the video of this geek culture on my laptop, and then I used the camera, which is currently recording my very strange face, and I used that to record the video. Now, you might say, that's got to really be bad in terms of quality. And you're right, it kind of is. But it's not too bad. I recorded it off YouTube. Now, when you think about YouTube, YouTube takes a video, converts it to Flash, and then they play that over the internet. And so the quality is already going to be degraded. Then I'm recording it off of my laptop. That's going to degrade it even further. But without any further ado, here is what I believe to be the official anthem of geeks everywhere. It's All About the Pentiums by Weird Al Yankovic. You just got to love that.
It's all about the Pentiums, baby.
Be hackers, co-crackers, slackers, wasting time with all the chat room yackers. 9 to 5 chilling at Hewlett Packard, working at a desk with a dumb little placard. Yeah, paying the bills with my mad programming skills. Yeah, defragging my hard drive for thrills. I got me 100 gigabytes of RAM. I never feed trolls and I don't read spam. Installed a T1 line in my house. Always at my PC, double clicking on my mizouse. Upgrade my system at least twice a day. I'm freaking plug and play. I ain't afraid of Y2K. I'm down with Bill Gates. I call him money for short. I phone him up at home and I make him do my tech support. It's all about the Pentiums. What? You gotta be the dumbest newbie I've ever seen. You've got whiteout all over your screen. You think your Commodore 64 is really neato? What kind of chip you got in there? A Dorito? You're using a 286, don't make me laugh. Your Windows boots up in what, a day and a half? You could back up your whole hard drive on a floppy diskette. You're the biggest joke on the internet. Your database is a disaster.
your wax and your modem, trying to make it go faster. Hey fella, I bet you're still living in your parents' cellar, downloading pictures of Sarah Michelle Gellar and posting me too like some brain dead AOLer. I should do the world a favor and cap you like old Yella. You're just about as useless as JPEGs to Helen Keller.
Crew, huh? Rule cyber spades and crunch numbers like I do. They call me the king of the spreadsheets. Got them all printed out on my bed sheets. My new computer's got the clocks. It rocked, but it was obsolete before I opened the box. You say you've had your desktop for over a week?
Uh-huh.
Throw that junk away, man. It's an antique. Your laptop is a month old?
Yeah.
Well, that's great. If you could use a nice heavy paperweight. My digital media is right protected. Every file inspected. No viruses detected. I beta tested every operating system. Gave props to some and others I dissed them. While your computer's crashing, mine's multitasking. It does all my work without me even asking. Got a flat screen monitor 40 inches wide. I believe that yours says Etch-a-Sketch on the side. In a 32-bit world, you're a 2-bit user. You've got your own news group, all total losers. Your motherboard melts when you try to send a fax. But you get your CPU in a box of Cracker Jacks. Play me online, well you know that I'll beat you. If I ever meet you, I'll control all the leads. You won!
See? Wasn't that cool? I liked it. Of course, I tend to really like it anyway. I play it a lot. I even have it on a CD and play it in the car. I know. I'm strange. Anyway, let's go to the blog entries this week. We had some neat stuff going on. First item this week after the last official netcast. First official netcast, actually, last week. But the first blog entry after that is How to Ghost for Linux Backup and Restore. Cool stuff. Now, I've used Ghost for Linux, and I got to admit, it's really cool. Now, Symantec, formerly Norton's, Ghost is a neat tool, but it costs money. And Ghost for Linux is open source, which means it's free. I like the free. Anyway, you can use this special CD that you burn the ISO, you get a CD, you put it in your CD on your Linux server, and then it allows you to back up to an FTP share or whatever on your network, and then you can do a restore from there. Really neat stuff. So there's a complete, if you click on the link in the blog, there's a complete how-to instruction on how to use that to back up and restore your hard drives on Linux, and that rocks. So check that out. Next thing that I want to talk about is Durcaster. Now, I know I talk about that a lot since I became the maintainer of the Durcaster site, but Durcaster is really kind of the heart of this netcast because it's what provides the RSS feed that allows you to subscribe every week and see the doctor. Is that good? We'll say that it is. Anyway, Durcaster is very cool software, and my good buddy that I've never met before in my whole life, except by email, Henry L. Ratliff, is a PHP programmer extraordinaire. Way to go, Henry. Props to you. The thing is, he created a brand new feature of Durcaster. And so here's what I want to do. I want to talk about that, but I also want to give you a little introduction to the Durcaster.org website. So let's do that right now. What I want to do now is I want to show you the Durcaster open source project site that I created for the Durcaster project. In some ways, there's not much to see, but I just wanted to make you familiar with it. From here at the site, you can see we have the home page with all kinds of information about the latest version of Durcaster. You can go to downloads, and you've got prior releases, and you also have the current production release, production in quotes, since it is less than version one yet. We're still in a beta, format, I guess you'd say. But we also have contact information, drbill@dercaster.org. And actually, I need to fix that. I shouldn't have a period between the R and the B. Should be just be drbill@dercaster.org. And of course, as maintainer of the project, I need to get that fixed. At any rate, news and updates. These are the updates that we've done. I started hosting it on December the 21st of last year, and went on into the later releases up to the most current release, which was released January the 11th. And this release, I'm really excited about. Henry Ratliff, who is a tremendous PHP programmer and is helping me so much with this project, came up with a very neat new feature. It allows you to override the values of the ID3 tags within the MP3s or MP4s or any kind of format that you happen to be using in your RSS feed. He allows you to override that with a text file. So, for instance, if you have a podcast called podcast1.mp3, you can create podcast1.txt. And within that text file, you can actually change the values of the tags that'll be in the feed. It's a tremendous new feature, and I'm really excited about it. We also have, of course, the link to the project blog, which will take you to Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, but under the category of the Dercaster project, and it talks about, the new features and so forth. So that's where that link will take you. And then we also have support forums. Now, what this is a bulletin board system. It's actually the XMB bulletin board system, free open source. And with that, we can announce new releases, we can talk about installation issues, wish lists for future releases. So I'd encourage you to use that to let me know what kinds of things you want to see in Dercaster. So this is just a quick overview of the Dercaster project website. I wanted you to see that and let you be familiar with it, because this is really the core of the software that allows me to do both the audio podcast and even the video podcast, because I use the same software for the drbill.tv site. And I'm just going to go over there right quick and show you that we now have drbill.tv as a separate website. And we've got, for instance, episode 1. If you click that, it will actually start a flash player. Turn that down so it doesn't blast us. But as you can see, there's Dr. Bill from last week's episode, which was recorded January the 6th. And let me go back to the home page. But from this, you can click on the show feed, and this show feed is actually being brought to you through Dercaster. See, Dercaster.php up here at the top. And these are the feeds. Okay, now that is how you can use Dercaster to send your feeds over the internet and have your own podcast or netcast or podcast or whatever it is you want to call it, okay? Anyway, next item on the blog, a new feature for Dr. Bill TV. Now, you saw in that last bit there the new Dr. Bill site, and it's drbill.tv. If you'll go there and check it out, like we did just a moment ago, you'll see there's new features there, including that flash player. You saw how it came up with episode 1 and started playing Dr. Bill? Isn't that cool? You may be watching this netcast over that flash player. Cool, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, check it out. New features. Next item. This is a cool one. I like this one a lot. This is my son Ben's post on YouTube, his very first post on YouTube. Now, he's had a lot of cool ideas on how to do this, but until we got the software that I'm using right now to master the video, we didn't have the tool that we needed to do what he's doing. Actually, it's real geeky what he did. Now, you got to understand, Ben's a chip off the old block, you know what I mean? He's a geek just like the old man, all right? And so he decided that what he wanted to have a game that actually was a Game Boy game. So he got the Game Boy Player, which technically they don't even make anymore. We had to get it off eBay. You know, some guy had it, and it was in mint condition, and we said, dude! So we got it, okay? We hooked it up to his Game Boy. It allows him to play the Game Boy through the, it's not a Game Boy, is it? What is it? It's not Game Boy.
GameCube!
It's kind of nice to have him over there on the couch next to me so that I can ask him these questions. Otherwise, I won't know. Anyway, hook up the Game Boy to the GameCube. It's, you know, it's game stuff. What do I know? Anyway, so you hook it up. You then run it through a TV. Now, the TV that we used, you see, has a VCR built into it. It's one of those combo jobs. Kind of weird. It's modular, except that it's all together. Anyway, so we took that and then videotaped his playing of the game and the beeping and the bashing and the blowing things up stuff. Okay, then he took that video and we used a tool that's from ADS Tech called Video Express, and that little box, little bitty box, hooked up to his output of the VCR and allowed him to capture the video from the GameCube, which was played from the Game Boy. It's getting rather complicated, isn't it? But you can see the geeky part of this, okay? Anyway, he got all this together. Then he used ULEEDS Video Studio, which is what we use to do the video production here on the Netcast, and he used that to put together from 2 hours of video of him playing and beeping and shooting things and blowing things up to a, like, almost 4 to 5 minute video. And the dude did it much faster than his old man did to create the Netcast. Okay, anyway, next generation geeks, okay? They're just a little sharper, okay? Anyway, the thing is, he posted it on YouTube, and it is the official challenge. So he's asking for people to take up his challenge on the Game Boy and do this particular game, which is what's the game? Mega Man
Battle Network 6.
Battle Network 6. Don't ask me. But anyway, if you play Mega Man Battle Network 6, take up his challenge and it'll make his day. Yeah. Okay, next item. This item is a long item, and I don't know, I'm going to try to keep the Netcast shorter this week, okay? I'm going to do the very, very best I can to keep it shorter. But the top 10 nastiest malware trends. Whoa, we could spend hours talking about this, so I'm going to see if I can get through it as quickly as possible. All right, number one, this is according to IT Security Magazine. Number one is adware. The most common form of malware is adware. I bet you knew that, because more people get infected with adware than just about anything else. All right, number two, browser hijackers. Have you ever had your browser hijacked? Do you know what that means? That's where, instead of your home page that you set, it takes over your browser and sets it to a home page that you don't want, usually on a site that has stuff on it you definitely don't want. Man. So therefore, bad stuff. And they're terribly hard to get rid of. I have, on customer machines, I've taken a long time to hunt that sucker down and get him. But it can be done. Particularly if you're determined. Anyway, next one. Number three, internet dialers. Not as big as they used to be, because, hey, most of us don't dial up anymore. But the concept is still kind of the same. Back in the day, internet dialers were awful because they would wake up and they would dial out and they would use your phone to spread viruses. Back in the old days of phone lines, when you hooked up and it went, I'm glad those days are gone, you know? Anyway, all right, keyloggers. Keyloggers are things that spy on you while you're typing away on your keyboard. They record all your keystrokes, like passwords and financial information, bad news. All right, next thing, rootkit. Sony ought to be real familiar with that. Yeah. Anyway, rootkits basically go in and just take over your system at a very low level. Bad news. Trojan horses, they're masters of disguise. This form of malware pretends to be innocuous plugins, add-ons, or even codecs, coders and decoders, for video and so forth. But they sneak into your system, you know, kind of like the Trojan horse. You know, they brought the horse in, and it really had men inside that came out and took over. Well, hey, that's what a Trojan horse is in the case of software. Viruses. We're more familiar with that term because everything today that's malware tend to get dropped in the same bucket as virus, and they're not all really viruses. But, you know, there are such things as real viruses, and they're very bad. That's why we have antivirus software, which you should be using. And if you're not using it, you know, I can't pay for it, Dr. Bill, use Grisoft's free software. Go to free.grisoft.com, Grisoft.com, free.grisoft.com, and download AVG free. Yes, that's free. And it will protect your system's awesome antivirus program. Okay, drive-by downloads. The term drive-by download refers to any malware installed without user consent or knowledge. Okay, that's, you just happen to hit a website and bam, it downloads and installs on your computer. Man, evil stuff. Number 10, piggyback malware. That refers to embedded malicious code within an otherwise harmless executable file. You download something, it's fairly innocuous and harmless, but then it executes something that you don't want on your system. Piggyback software, very bad stuff. All right, and then a quick summary of growing malware trends. Mobile attacks using SMS. Media malware using MPEG video files. Increase in zombie computers and botnets where they take over your computer and use it to propagate their garbage to the network. Return of parasitic malware that operate by modifying files already existing on your hard drive. Oh, man. Increase silent and targeted attacks and transactions instead of computers. Suicidal malware that uses polymorphic techniques to evade detection. It looks to see if you have an antivirus and disables it and does all kinds of sneaky things, almost like artificial intelligence. Anyway, ransomware. Now, this one's weird. This one says, okay, we're going to take over your system. It does it. And then they send you an email that says, if you want your system back, send us money. Dude, I mean, they're getting serious out there. I'm talking really serious. Anyway, read this. This is just a quick, I mean quick, overview of this article. And if you read the article, you can click on the link, which will take you to the IP Security Magazine and give you the whole detailed article. So check that out. Now, let's do our Geek Project of the Week, which is how to do your own netcast. First of all, hi, I'm on camera. The camera that's pointing at me right now, right about there, that camera is recording me, and I have lighting coming at me, one from this side, one from this side, and one from overhead, that gives me a three-point lighting system. So let's look into lighting first, because lighting is critical to good video. Okay, now let's talk about the lighting for the video cast. This is an article by Steve Smith, the digital journalist, and he has an article on doing videos, and, you know, as with most things that I do, I research things on the internet. Now, my background in photography and portrait photography, wedding photography, things along that line, I already knew how to do lighting setups, and so I had in mind exactly what I wanted to do for the video cast, but this chart gives you a good example of how the lighting should be set up. If this is the subject, and this is your camera position to film your subject, then you need a fill light coming in, notice, from this angle, a key light coming from this angle, and a backlight. Now, the backlight, you can have a light here on the background if your background is critical or important. I'm not as interested in the background for the video cast. So instead of just having a backlight here, I have a light overhead that shines down onto the subject, which in this case is me, and then I have the fill light and the key light coming in from the two different sides in front. So with the camera positioned here, and I'm sitting here, then I have one to the right, one to the left, and then one overhead. And those three lights give me the typical three-light setup that gives you good, clear, clean, I guess you'd say exposure for the video. And I'm used to thinking in terms of still photography. So if I say something like exposure rather than shot, you'll understand. I also had TV production in college, and so I've had some background, some experience in some of these various concepts. But this is something that a lot of people miss when they're doing a podcast, or a vodcast in this case, is the lighting. And that's really the most important thing. No matter what kind of camera you've got, you're only going to be as good as your lighting source. Okay, I'm doing a little handheld camera work here, so you'll have to forgive me if it kind of moves a little bit. But there's my laptop that I use to actually produce the podcast. And as you can see, Pod Producer is up and running there. Let me zoom in on that. There's our Pod Producer software. I'm not sure how well the autofocus will work on the screen, but that's okay. Now, in terms of the lighting, we just talked about lighting in terms of the three-point lighting. What I did is I used a regular computer table here that I have my laptop and my keyboard set up on, and of course my mouse. But then I added some mounts here for some lights. And what that is a 3-inch washer that I have a 1/2-inch hole in the center. And then the lights are mounted in that washer for support. There's one on one side of the table and one on the bottom side. And of course I have one on either side. I'll just zoom in there. And let's zoom out. And I'll show you that these lights then are on kind of stalks. I won't blind you by showing you the lights, but there you go. They're on supports that are flexible and allow me to have the lights positioned one on one side, one on the other. And then in a typical three-light setup, of course, I've got a light overhead, which is actually a shop light. It's just a standard fluorescent-style shop light, except that I'm using a special bulb that matches the incandescent frequency of the incandescent bulbs that I'm using on the computer supports. So there you go. That's my three-point lighting setup. Software that I use to record the podcast. Matter of fact, this is the software that I've been using since the very first podcast of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. It's called Pod Producer. And this software was written by Alfredo Romo from Mexico. And as you'll notice, we're at a beta version of .26, not quite up to number one, which in open source terms would be ready for prime time. But I tell you what, this software is better than a lot of, quote, production software that you'll find. It is awesome. You can go over here, hit record, and you'll notice my VU meter is jumping up there, showing what my recording level is for the recording. It's counting down my time. Had a little virus update there. at any rate, funny how these things always happen in the middle of producing a program. But at any rate, you can see the time counting down here. And I have my theme song, which is Snowflakes by Demerit 7 up here. I can hit play, and it'll start playing the Dr. Bill theme song. And I can say the doctor is in. And then I can just fade it out with the slider here, so I've got complete control over it. Also can do something really neat. I like this feature. I can come in here and drag a promo over to the buttons that are available here. And then anytime I want to play one of the little promotional bits or whatever for the Tech Podcast Network or say some geek culture or whatever, this just hit the button.
Is a proud member of the Tech Podcast,
and I can hit fade out there, and it will fade it out even before it's completed. Now, if I'd have just let it complete to the end, it would have been fine, but the fade out button allows me to just play something and then fade it right out. I also have this master slider here that I can control whatever is in this area. It's a tremendously well thought out program. Here's the configuration. I can set my audio card, the input that I want to use, and the sampling rate, all the different values to set up the podcast the way that I want it. Really, really awesome software. And Alfredo originally, when he produced this, he was putting it on a web host down in Mexico, and it was a really long, involved URL. It's kind of hard to remember. So I sent him a note and said, hey, you know, I'd be glad to host your website for you on my hosting company. And so he registered podproducer.net. So you can go to podproducer.net, which I host, and get this tremendous software. It's absolutely free, open source. And this is what I use to master the audio part of the podcast.
That's how the lighting works. Three-point lighting. And you saw my cool table that I've got here in front of me, which if I were to grab it and move it back and forth, you'd see that everything moves, including the camera, because the camera is sitting on a tripod that's sitting on a table on my laptop. Yeah, pretty weird stuff. Let me see if I can get myself realigned. Yes, there I am, realigned. Yep, got to be correct after all. Anyway, that's how it works. And now you know how the podcast, vodcast, netcast, there I go again, is made. And so I trust that that was interesting for you, and I trust you enjoyed the podcast this week. And you know what? I can tell, because that song's back there fading in again, that it's time to go. But I'll be back. I really will. But right now, the doctor is out of here.